Turn to 1 Samuel. In your Bibles, 1 Samuel chapter 11. First Samuel 11, we'll be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 15. This is the word of the living God. Now Nahash the Ammonite came up and besieged Jabesh-Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said to Nahash, "Make a covenant with us and we will serve you." But Nahash the Ammonite said to them, "I will make it with you on this condition, that I will gouge out the right eye of every one of you. Thus I will make it a reproach on all Israel." The elders of Jabesh said to him, "Let us alone for 7 days, that we may send messengers throughout the territory of Israel. Then if there is no one to deliver us, we will come out to you." Then the messengers came to Gibeah of Saul and spoke these words in the hearing of the people. And all the people lifted up their voices and wept. Now behold, Saul was coming from the field behind the oxen, and he said, "What is the matter with the people that they weep?" So they related to him the words of the men of Jabesh. And the Spirit of God came upon Saul mightily when he heard these words, and he became very angry. He took a yoke of oxen and cut them in pieces, and sent them throughout the territory of Israel by the hand of messengers, saying, "Whoever does not come out after Saul and after Samuel, so shall it be done to his oxen." Then the dread of the Lord fell on the people, and they came out as one man. He numbered them in Bezek, and the sons of Israel were 300,000, and the men of Judah 30,000. They said to the messengers who had come, "Thus you shall say to the men of Jabesh-Gilead, 'Tomorrow, by the time the sun is hot, you will have deliverance.'" So the messengers went and told the men of Jabesh, and they were glad. Then the men of Jabesh said, "Tomorrow we will come out to you, and you may do to us whatever seems good to you." The next morning, Saul put the people in three companies, and they came into the midst of the camp at the morning watch and struck down the Ammonites until the heat of the day. Those who survived were scattered so that no two of them were left together. Then the people said to Samuel, "Who is he that said, 'Shall Saul reign over us? Bring the men that we may put them to death.'" But Saul said, "Not a man shall be put to death this day, for today the Lord has accomplished deliverance in Israel." And Samuel said to the people, "Come and let us go to Gilgal and renew the kingdom there." So all the people went to Gilgal. And there they made Saul king before the Lord in Gilgal. There they also offered sacrifices of peace offerings before the Lord, and there Saul and all the men of Israel rejoiced greatly. That's the word of the Lord to us from 1 Samuel 11. Remember the last chapter, if you remember a couple weeks ago when we were here, Saul has been publicly chosen to be king by Yahweh over Israel, and now comes a serious problem. Nahash the Ammonite besieged Jabesh-Gilead. The Ammonite, Lot's sons became a nation, Ammon, from Genesis. Nahash the Ammonite, he besieged it, this city, which was east of the Jordan, so not on the west side, which where most of Israel is, but on the east side of the Jordan, in the tribe of Gad. And so the Gadites from Jabesh-Gilead call upon Nahash to make a covenant with them, and Nahash agrees on one condition, and that is that he would disable them from military service. That's what he means by gouging out their right eyes, because if you think about it, most soldiers carried their shield on their left hand, so their eyes on the left side were covered. The right eye is the one that they could really clearly see with, and so that would pretty much disable them completely from military service or any future military service. And so that's what Nahash wants. He wants a people he can rule over and not have any trouble with them. So the men of Jabesh-Gilead don't like that, obviously. And so they ask for a week, 7 days, to seek deliverance. And notice three times in this chapter that word, deliverance or salvation, appears three times. And so that's the main point of the chapter. And so the question is, how are the men of Jabesh-Gilead going to be saved? How are they going to be delivered from this foreign oppressor from Ammon. So the messenger sent from the city, don't go throughout the territory as they say there. They go to Gibeah, where Saul is. They go there and to call for help to be delivered from these enemies. And so you look where Israel's king is. He's not on a throne. He's out farming. He's in the fields with the oxen. So immediately upon hearing that message of what is happening, the Spirit of God comes upon him. Mightily, it should remind you of Samson in many ways. The Spirit of God comes upon him mightily. And so the question is, how are the men of Jabesh-Gilead going to be saved? How are they going to be delivered? By Saul? The answer is no. But by Yahweh, the Spirit of Yahweh. Verse 7, the Spirit working through Saul calls the people to come out. And it says, the dread of the Lord fell upon the people. The dread of not Saul, the dread of the Lord fell upon the people. And not the dread of the king, but the dread of the Lord. And they gathered as one army, 330,000 men. And they strike down the Ammonites. Saul declares that it was who that delivered Israel? It was the Lord who delivered Israel from Nahash. And verse 12 reminds us of the last chapter where Saul was publicly made king. And there were those some worthless men who didn't like that. They thought, who is this man who to deliver us from our enemies? And here they are, they question whether Saul could deliver them and be king over them. And here's the answer, that it's through the Spirit that, yes, he can be king. Through the Spirit, this farmer can be a grand king and a deliverer. And then we ask the question, can Jesus save us? Can he deliver us? Can he reign as king? And absolutely he can. And those who don't believe in him, that he can, will be put to death eternally. That is what is warned here about these worthless men. And then verses 14 and 15, the last couple verses, the Lord through Samuel calls the people of Israel to renew the kingdom. They're called to renew their allegiance to the rule of Yahweh, not Saul. But Yahweh, Israel, though they have an earthly human king, are not to trust in him, but they are to trust in his God, the true king, the same king that we just referred to in Zephaniah. The king is the Lord. And so they're to renew their allegiance to him. The true Lord of all creation who sends his Spirit powerfully to deliver and strengthen his people. And same for us Christians, same call is upon us, for we are to seek first his kingdom. We're to renew our allegiance to his kingdom. Because he even says in the Gospels, we're called to seek first the kingdom, his kingdom, and his righteousness. And so the Christian life is lived continually renewing our allegiance to the King, Jesus, the King of Kings. Renewing our faith in him through the Word of God as we hear it. We're renewing our faith as we're praying. We're renewing our faith in him and hearing about him. And we're renewing our faith in the sacraments. So we look at the Lord's Supper as we have it next week, and you look at some of the larger catechism question and answers, and it talks about renewing our faith in his promises and in the Lord. And so here we're called to renew our faith in the kingdom and in our King and in his righteousness. And this we do through a life of continual repentance, as Israel needed to align themselves with the King, the true King, the Lord. So it is with us. We need to continually repent of our sin and realign ourselves with the King, Jesus Christ, and by faith. Let's pray now. Father, we thank you for this word from 1 Samuel, which calls us to see that our true king is the Lord, and that it's only in the earthly sense that Saul is enabled to serve as king. It's only by the Spirit and the strengthening of the Spirit and the coming of the Spirit that he's enabled to do that. And so, Lord, we know that the true king, the Lord, you and your Son, Jesus Christ, is the only one who is fit to serve as king. And Lord, we ourselves, we we call upon you that to work in our hearts by your Spirit to align our hearts under your kingdom and under your kingship. That you would renew our faith and you would call us to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. That would be true of us, that we would be seeking out your kingdom and what's good for your kingdom, and that is glory to you and honor to you and majesty to you. And so for we pray that you would, Lord, we pray that you would work that in us by your Spirit. Strengthen us even as you would strengthen Saul. Not necessarily to deliver anybody, but that we would be used by you in a mighty way to serve for your kingdom. And Father, we do pray as we think about our own culture, our own government, that you would bring salvation to those who are in leadership over us, whether what city, all the way up to federal, even throughout all the world, that we would see and they would see as their true king and true president or true ruler, the Lord God Almighty in Jesus Christ, who reigns on the throne now. Father, we pray that you would watch over us. Cause us not to put our trust and hope in earthly kings or earthly rulers, but to put our trust in you alone. That you can work and will work according to your will in our earthly sphere, according to your plan. So we pray that you would, in that plan, bring about salvation to many people. Many of those rulers, many even those who are not rulers, but who are mere servants, like we are. Father, bring salvation and your grace showered upon your people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.